This is Day to Day. I'm Madeline Brand. We're joined now by Captain Nate Rawlings. He's in Iraq, and he's been writing about his experiences at our website. He also takes your questions there. And the latest one was not exactly subtle in its criticism of the war and of the Americans fighting that war. Mohammed Hassan from Kansas wrote in part, "Do you really feel proud of yourself as a murderer of innocent people? Who are you to go to a country and force democracy on the people?" Nate Rawlings is here. And Nate, what did you say to Mr. Hassan?
Well, I tried to encourage Mr. Hassan to take a step back and to try to take a little bit more of an educated point of view. I think that the war, and especially this war, like many other wars, are going to cause people to have a number of different opinions. And that's fine. I think that all those opinions should be respected. But I really just encouraged him to really try to learn more about what we do over here, because I'm incredibly proud of all of my soldiers. Couldn't be prouder of the way they conduct themselves. Even when they've had to use violence, it's always been restrained. And so I really just tried to have him to take a step back and just sort of join the discussion in a more positive manner.
And then you also said, which I thought was interesting, that he should vote with his feet, that he should actually take part in the political process if he doesn't favor the war.
Absolutely. I mean, that's something that my father always stressed upon my sisters and me, and that we've always thought it's very important that you should be engaged in the process. In this case, it is a political process, because the process of electing our government leaders is one that will have a direct impact on whether we're here and what we do here. So it's fine to criticize, but at the same time, if you're not engaged in the process, I feel that that's a real discredit to everything you try to protest against.
Do you sense a great excitement among the men and women there about the election?
Well, there's certainly a lot of open-ended questions. A lot of us are wondering if Barack Obama is elected versus John McCain and vice versa, whether that'll have an effect not just on this tour but on future military careers, because we have a lot of soldiers and a lot of officers who are intending to make the military career. I'm not one of them. I'm going to be leaving active duty when we return from this tour. But for those soldiers especially, the big question now is when and how soon they'll have to deploy to Afghanistan, because many of these soldiers are on their third, some even fourth tour here to Iraq, and so now they're looking at another open-ended involvement in Afghanistan. And so they've got a lot of questions about that, and so we're really just curious right now, with both candidates, what decisions they'll make.
And so far, are you getting satisfactory responses from both candidates in terms of, you know, the future deployments and the future of our engagement in Afghanistan and elsewhere?
Well, we've certainly seen a lot of the national discussion shift to the economy after what happened on Wall Street in the past week. And so we see those things kind of having a lot of difficulty and understand why the candidates are spending time addressing those issues right now. Our chief concern now, I guess, for the day-to-day is just doing our job as best we can, certainly having a concern into the future a little bit. And when the candidates get back around to addressing that, we'll certainly pay attention.
Okay, here is another question. A listener notes that he's seen some videos on the web with soldiers, not acting in a dignified manner, shall we say, making Iraqi children say profanities in English. And he's wondering, as a captain, as someone who's in charge of soldiers, how you deal with that. And he asks, how much bad boy behavior goes on without the public's knowledge?
One of the things that I try to keep in mind as a platoon leader and now that I'm in charge of other troops is that a number of our soldiers are between the ages of 19 and 21. So they're still in that stage when, if they were in college, they would probably be out going to parties and, having a good time and acting wild and crazy. And so there's a lot of responsibility placed on these young men's shoulders. Not only do they go out into the neighborhoods carrying assault rifles and ammunition and candy for the children and leaflets, but they have a responsibility to try to conduct themselves as soldiers, and we do try to press discipline, and that's one of the important aspects of the military. But one thing I told my soldiers is that you do have to try to conduct themselves as ambassadors to the U.S., but you're always in an organization this large going to have a few soldiers who act in a manner that maybe we don't appreciate or that we don't approve of. So if a soldier in my unit was doing something like that, we would discipline him, or we would certainly counsel him and make sure that it doesn't repeat itself.
In your last dispatch on our website, you wrote about being really sick. You caught, I guess, a cold, or you had bronchitis or something, but you had a fever and you still had to go out on patrol. Are you better now? And tell us a little bit about what that was like.
I am much better. Back, I was back from my mid-tour leave, where I was home in the States for about 3 weeks, a little under 3 weeks, and I returned and had about 3 days of regular operations before I got a bad case of bronchitis, and I had a really high fever. And once the fever subsided a little bit, I did go out on a couple of patrols that were pretty miserable because I still had a little bit of a high temperature and was pretty weak. But my platoon medic, he took good care of me and ensured that I was staying hydrated and taking my medicine. But it was bronchitis is just one of those sicknesses that you have to just let take its run its course. And I did finally, and I'm feeling much better.
But you still had to go out on patrol in 100-degree heat?
Well, I did. I was actually forced to stay behind. My medic would not let me go on one. But mainly I just did not want my soldiers going out on a patrol without me as one of their leaders and as, you know, just a fellow soldier. And because they're a group of guys that I've really gotten attached to and, you know, I definitely don't want them going out into harm's way unless I'm with them and, you know, right at the front every step. And so that's really hard as a leader to get left behind on one of those operations. But you really have to weigh the safety of the operation if you're going to become a heat casualty. And then all of a sudden, the operation has to stop to care for you. So it's one of those calls as a leader you have to make and say, I'm really just not in a physical health position to conduct myself as I need to right now. And luckily, that was only for one mission, and I was able to get back on my feet. It didn't feel great, but I was able to do everything I needed to do.
How often do soldiers get sick there in Iraq? It would seem that the conditions would be ripe for a lot of sickness.
Well, when we first initially come over, we land in Kuwait and spend a little bit of time gathering our equipment and training. And there's a famous Kuwaiti crud, is what we call it, that goes around during that at the big camp in Kuwait because everyone is adjusting to being on the far side of the world. They're adjusting to a new set of germs. And once your body gets used to it, then there's a pretty steady state where everyone's genuinely healthy and we try to take care of each other, the medics, and we have health professionals in a battalion surgeon as well as a physician's assistant who do regular checkups to make sure that we're all healthy and taking care of ourselves. But there's your general bugs that go around, coughs, colds, fevers, and bronchitis just happen to be the flavor of the month, I guess.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you feel better, and thank you. Again, it's always great talking to you.
Thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure.
That's Captain Nate Rawlings. He spoke to us from Baghdad, from actually on top of a roof from his cell phone in Baghdad. And you can check out his dispatches at npr.org/Nate. You can also pose your questions to Nate there. Again, thanks, Nate.
Thank you.